The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Tim or it's her. But it's just something that we have to live with, that awkwardness. And sometimes that awkwardness can even be hurtful. I mean, it's not just that they're a little strange, but sometimes your family does things that just shouldn't be done, and you have members of your family that have offended you, that have hurt you in ways that, you know, you think you're not going to recover from, or at least never forgive them for, and that's not the way God designed the family, but that's the way the family has turned out, because sin is very much a part of our lives, and so we want to have our own way, and as you know, anytime you have a couple people in the same room that want to have their way, only one person's getting their way, right? It's either one person's getting their way, or no one's getting their way. And so when that happens, there's always disagreements. There's always discord. And so maybe in your family, there's just something that's off a little bit, and you're not really sure what it is or why it's that way, but you know things are a little bit out of balance, and it's just kind of, I don't know, just you have that feeling, and or maybe you know what it is, but you're not sure how to get things back to a balanced state, to where there's happiness and there's peace. And the family should be a place where people can go and feel welcomed and feel loved and feel like they're a part of something big and not feel like it's something they need to run away from. Am I right? I mean, that's what the family should be. That's how we come up with all those old expressions about home sweet home and things like that, you know, because the family should be a place where we feel accepted and we feel welcome. And so how can we once again kind of restore balance to a place that maybe is a little bit off at times? And so I've got my picture here for you guys. I had the message that I wanted to share with you this morning, and then I'm looking through awkward family photos, which, by the way, could just end up being the biggest, you know, time eater. You know, it's like you sit down to get one picture, and you end up like looking through all these family photos, and you're busting up. You're laughing. No one knows what you're laughing at. And then, so I'm seeing all these pictures. And so I get to this one, and I wanted to use it. But I'm like, you know what? I want to use it, but I don't want to, like, force it to work. And so I'm thinking, it's a funny picture, but how's it going to fit in with talking about that balance in family? And then all of a sudden I remembered, as a kid, our washing machine. Now, my mom is one of those individuals who was sort of opposed to technology, aggressively opposed to technology. And so we never had, like, a TV. We never had a microwave. We never had all that stuff growing up. And so she had a washing machine because there were six kids, and no one's going to wash all that clothes by hand, right? So we did have a washing machine, but we didn't have a dryer. And so she would, you know, hang all the clothes out on the line, and then we'd have to go get them, and we'd have to fold them, which... Have you hung out wet clothes on a line before and then you bring them in to fold them? It's like folding cardboard, right? And they're really stiff. And so sometimes you get dressed for school and you put your clothes on and you're just like, bye, Mom, I'm off to school. You know, your clothes are all stiff. But so we had a washing machine, but we didn't have a dryer. But one thing that happened all the time, almost every time the washing machine ran, it would get to this point where it would start going, kaboom, 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 right? And the whole thing would like be shaking. At first you'd hear that noise, you'd be like, could someone get the door? You know, like, no, that's not the door. It's a monster. You'd hear all this noise going on, and if it was really bad, I mean, that washing machine would just be rocking all over the place, and sometimes it would actually walk across the room as far as it could go. And what was happening? It was out of balance, right? So you had a load in there that all the blankets and things were on one side, you know, and then so you would have to get in there, and you'd have to switch things around, you know, throw out a sock or two. That's the mystery, you know, of socks disappearing. It's when they rebalance the load, they have to take a sock out to balance it. That's my theory. But you have to do something, right, to restore balance, and then you start the washing machine again, and everything's fine. Okay? So when we, in our families, when we start kind of going through that rinse cycle where things get spinning pretty quick, if things are out of balance, the same thing happens to us. Things just kind of start falling apart. Sometimes it's noisy. Sometimes it can be destructive. And we got to do something to restore that balance. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. And here's the hashtags for you guys. We encourage you guys to be on social media. If you have Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, we invite you to mention the things that you're learning here, because your friends and family that are not here, maybe they're at home just kind of hanging out, and maybe something that's said here is going to catch their attention, and we'll see them next week. That's our hope. And so we encourage you. Out of balance is the hashtag for the message, and of course, Awkward Families, our series. My Twitter handle is Jeremiah Vick. So pretty easy stuff for you guys. Well, we want to start out today. I'm going to read a passage for you guys, and it's from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Get that up there on the screen. And here's the thing. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 10, and I'm going to kind of break down for you what we're going to talk about after we read this. The first part of our time together, I just want to talk about what's unique about having a family that's in balance, okay, as opposed to being out of balance. So we'll kind of talk about the uniqueness of a balanced family. And then I want to leave you guys with four questions that you can ask to check your family to see if your family's in balance, okay? So there's four questions that I want you to be able to ask yourselves and discover whether your family's in balance. And of course, depending on how you answer that, and God's word presents the answer for you, so we'll give you the solution to those questions as well. So four questions after we talk about what's so special about a balanced family. But let's jump into this. Deuteronomy 4, starting with verse 5. And a little bit of background on this. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel, okay? So Moses is talking to an entire nation, and the things that he's giving them, the principles that he's dropping on them right now, I would say that these principles apply to the family unit, okay? Because God was dealing with the people of Israel as a group of people. And I believe today that God still deals with his people in groups. I believe that God deals with his people as a church, and I believe God deals with his people as families. And of course, you know God deals with you on an individual level, but I don't want to discount the fact that God speaks to your entire family in his word. And I believe this is one of those passages where he does that. So let's read Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 10. It says this: "No other nation has laws that are as fair as the ones the Lord my God told me to give you. If you faithfully obey them when you enter the land, you will show other nations how wise you are. In fact, everyone that hears about your laws will say, 'That great nation certainly is wise.' For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? But watch out, be careful, never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, 'Summon the people before me, and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also.'" Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this passage. And Father, we think of your people right at the very beginning of when they were getting started as a nation, where they were freed from captivity, brought out of slavery, and you presented them with guidelines of how to live, or of what it's like to function together as a group of people, as a nation. And Father, I believe that the things that you told your people, the guidelines that you set down for your people, Father, I believe that those are applicable today to our families. And I pray this morning that we would learn all that you have for us, God. I ask that you would help us to have a better understanding of what it means to be a balanced family, to be a family that brings you honor and lifts you up. And so this morning, God, I pray that my words would be your words. And we want to give you all the glory for what you do here this morning. We pray all this In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as I said, Moses is talking to the people of Israel. And so this is a squirrely bunch of people, okay? I mean, these are the guys that, you know, they were complaining, obviously, about being in captive, you know, because that was a terrible thing, the slavery that they were in and the way that they were being abused and the way that they were forced to work and not being given the proper supplies that they needed and the proper food that they needed. But when God freed them and when God performed these incredible miracles in order to free them from slavery, you get to this place where the people start to think about where they used to be. And they start to complain to Moses and say, why did you bring us out here in the wilderness? And if I was Moses, I'd have been like, you were in prison, dummy. That's why you're out here. You're free, right? But just like the way the Americans kind of take our freedom for granted, I think here we have the Israelite people that are taking their freedom for granted. And so they would do a lot of stuff because they would forget how good God was to them. They would forget that God parted the Red Sea. They would forget that God provided food for them that just fell from the sky. They forgot that God provided water for them to drink. It came out of a rock. I mean, all these miracles that God did for them, these guys just kind of seemed to forget. And then whenever they got a chance or whenever they got alone, they would turn to another idol or another god and start worshiping that. And they would complain and say, you know what? When we were in Egypt, at least we had onions to eat. Onions. That's what they missed about Egypt, among other things. And so Moses stands before the people of God, a people that are pretty unbalanced, okay? A people that are just a mixed up, messed up group, an awkward group, and he gives them something to restore balance to the nation. And that's what we're going to be talking about, this balance and how we can have that restored into our families. And so the first thing, as I said, I want to talk about the uniqueness of a balanced family. And so what's so unique about a balanced family? Let's look at this first couple verses again. It says in verse 5, no other nation has laws that are as fair as the ones the Lord my God told me to give you. If you faithfully obey them when you enter the land, you will show other nations how wise you are. In fact, everyone that hears about your laws will say, that great nation certainly is wise. Now, Moses was telling his people how you can become a unique nation among the world if you simply follow God's rules, if you simply do things the way God prescribes them. You're going to be unique. And I love here how it says, you know, everybody's going to notice. Everybody's going to take note of the fact that there's something different about this nation if they just follow God's rules and do things the way God tells them to do. As a matter of fact, he says, the people would say that great nation certainly is wise. Have you ever had someone say that about your family? Man, that family, they're just a bunch of smarties. They really got it going on, right? Like, no, they don't say that about my family. They're like, man, those guys are barely scooting by in life. They're barely making it, right? And so here was the invitation that Moses gave them to become a balanced nation. And I think God's inviting us to become balanced in our families. And so here's three things that I find that are unique about a balanced family. First one is a balanced family is rare because so few families are willing to do what it takes. So a balanced family is pretty rare, pretty hard to find, because very few families are willing to put the work in and really do what it takes to be balanced. Second thing is this. It's not the easy road, but it's absolutely the most rewarding. Okay? So it's not going to be easy to remain balanced, but it is the most rewarding thing that you can do because there's a big, big payoff. I mean, imagine the legacy that you leave by having a family that's functioning the way God's designed it to function. Imagine the things that you're handing down through the generations. Imagine all the issues and the problems that you're avoiding in this life. I mean, life is tough enough as it is without having conflict in your family. So it's the most rewarding thing. And then a third thing, a balanced family will cause other families to sit up and take notice. You know, I can picture families that I grew up with. I can picture families in the church, people that I knew, who I respected greatly. Because I recognized there was something special there. I recognized that God was doing something in that family, and that family had this peace, that, and other families were it was something they wanted. You know, they were, it's almost like they were envious of that, and they were like, how can we be like your family? I remember one family that was in the church that I worked at for several years, and I loved seeing them every Sunday because the husband and wife were just an incredible example of being loving to one another, and their kids were like perfectly well behaved. I mean, their kids were like statues. Sometimes I would try to get these kids to mess around in church, you know, like tickle them and stuff, and they were just like, hey, you couldn't. You couldn't do anything, man. Those guys were tough. But anyway, but they had this respect, and they had this respect for their parents and a love for their parents. And I know it didn't come from abuse. I knew that it came from a godly upbringing. And so I looked at that family. I was like, wow, that is like a model family. I love seeing families that are really trying hard to do things God's way because it's noticeable. People sit up and take notice when your family is in balance. I remember that. This is kind of funny. When I was growing up, and obviously there was six of us, brothers and sisters, and so there's eight of us all together, right? And so anytime we would go somewhere, it's like we would take up pretty good space no matter where we went, okay? So we would go to the restaurant, you know, we'd have to get a booth and have to have like a lot of chairs and stuff. And I remember being kicked out of the restaurant before, not by the owners of the restaurant or the waitresses, but by my parents for misbehaving. You're like, go sit in the car, you know? This is before we moved to the Imperial Valley, right? Can't do that anymore, right? Actually, who am I kidding? We were in the Imperial Valley. That's why it was so bad to go have to sit in the car. No, but I remember when we would sit in church, we would all kind of all take up one whole row, and we would be sitting there. And my oldest sister, she was kind of like the mother hen, okay? So whenever my mom wasn't around, it was like my sister just like transformed into my mom, and we all hated her for it, right? Because we're like, that's just not fair. We want you to be our sister. And then when my mom would leave, then she would be like telling us what to do, you know, doing the snapping her finger at us and all that. My mom had this way of just getting anything that was happening that shouldn't have been happening, she had complete control over that with a snap of her finger. I don't know how she did it. It was whatever you were doing, snap. Even if you were doing something good, you stopped as soon as the finger snapped because you knew someone was in trouble. And so one day after church, this elderly man comes up to my sister and says, I've been watching your family for the longest time, and I see how you as oldest sister are just, you're like the mother hen for your brothers and sisters. And so then he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out some money, and he handed her some money. He said, I want you to have this as a gift because we know you work so hard. And the rest of us are like, oh, you know, going to get her when we get home. But he was noticing. I mean, he just would see us week after week, and he would see how my sister, like, kind of kept an eye on everybody and tried to keep order. And he appreciated that. And so what I'm saying is that when your family is in balance, when you're doing the things that God wants you to do, people notice. It stands out. It sticks out in their minds. And when they think of a family that's balanced, your family comes into their mind, and they want to be like you. They want to be like your family. And the only way that they can do that is by going to the source, the way you became a balanced family, and that's by going to God's Word. And so my hope for each one of us this morning is that we would desire to have that uniqueness of a balanced family that's only found in God's Word. So let's jump into this. We got four questions that we're going to ask. And when we ask these questions, you can ask these. They're pretty obvious at times. You'll hear the question. You'll be like, yeah, it's obvious. That's a yes or no question. And we want you to consider what needs to be done in your family in order for you to be able to respond properly to the question. So the first question is this. Is God at the center? Is God at the center? Verse 7 says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? You know, the thing about the nation of Israel, the thing that all of the other nations respected and the thing that they were even feared was they knew that this nation had a God that cared about them. They knew that this nation had a God that was right at the center of who they were. And it scared their enemies, and it made everybody else want to be like them. Is God at the center? See, if your family is going to be in balance, it must be a family that is not distant from God. And here's the thing. God actually wants to be at the center of your family. God wants to be close. He wants to be near to you. I have some great scripture that I hope will remind you of that. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So if you show a willingness to draw close to God, guess what? God's going to respond by pulling you close to him. As long as you're showing that willingness, that desire to be close to him. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 says, am I not a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God who's far away? God himself, when he describes who he is, he says, I'm a God that's close. I'm a God that's accessible. I'm a God that's available. But what do we do so many times in our families? We tend to overlook the fact that God is so easily accessible. We tend to overlook the fact that God desires to be at the center. And sometimes we'll just pass him right by. Or we'll put something else in the center and move God out of there. Psalms 145, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him and to all who call upon him in truth. I think one of maybe the greatest challenges and also the greatest and most rewarding thing you can do for your family is to invite God to be at the center. Invite God to be at the center of your family. And what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, because it's not that you can just take God and just set him right there in the middle of the family dining room. You know, just say, God, stay put. Don't leave. We want you to be at the center. What are things that you can do to keep God at the center? Well, I think that if someone walks into your home, I think that it should be pretty obvious that you're a family that loves God. And so what does that mean? What does it look like for your family? I know that growing up, my mom used to post scripture verses on the wall. She would just, you know, my mom would just like write out a Bible verse or something and just kind of post it on the wall somewhere, and it would be in the house. Someone would walk in and be like, oh, cool, Bible verse, you know. Sometimes as a family, we'll have like a big thing, like a welcome sign of the family that'll say something like, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You've seen that before at different people's homes, things like that. I think that's a great way of kind of indicating that you're saying, God, we want you to be at the center of our home. But if that's all we're doing, if all we're doing is saying it, then I think we're going to be falling short. I think that actions need to follow that. So what are some things that we can actively do to put God at the center of our home? I think praying together is going to be a big thing. I think that if a family recognizes that the spiritual aspect of your lives is the greatest aspect of your lives, and they rally around this God who loves and cares for the family so much. And sometimes, most times, that takes one member of the family saying, you know what, I'm going to take the lead on that. I'm going to take the lead on that. I'm going to be the one to remind my family of how important God is, and I'm going to be the one that makes sure that God is at the center of my home. And men, if you're here this morning and you have a family, that's your job. That's your job as men. Your job is to be the spiritual leader of your home, to be right at the center of your home, inviting God to be there. If there's not a man in the home, guess what? Parent, whoever you might be, single mom, whatever it is, it's your job. It's your job to make sure that God is at the center of your family. So is God at the center? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Second question is this. Are God's rules being followed? Are God's rules being followed? Look at verse 8, Deuteronomy 4. It says, and what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Here's the thing about God's law. It's not just that God's law is something that he wants us to follow. Okay, it's not just that God says, you know what? I think this is a good plan and it's my plan, so you should follow it. Here's the thing. God has our best interest in mind when he gives us his word, when he gives us the guidelines for our families, for our marriages, for our homes. He has our best interest in mind. As a matter of fact, God has spent some time at the drawing board, okay? He's worked everything out. He's thought it all through. And he's finally come to the conclusion that this is going to be the best guideline for your family. And God knows everything about us. He knows how we work. He understands the awkwardness of our families. And God says, I've got a solution for that. I've got the answer for that. and I've laid it out for you clearly. Don't disregard it. Don't just allow God's word to become like this, book of advice, or like just like, you know, maybe a good luck charm. You have one on your coffee table, everything's going to be cool, right? That's not what God's word is all about. I mean, you don't even have to have a physical copy of God's word. If you have an app on your phone and you have God's word on your phone, I mean, you have the instructions. You have everything you need to have a balanced family. But you have to apply it. You have to spend time in God's word. So if your family is going to be in balance, it must be a family that lives by God's guidelines. It must be a family that lives by God's guidelines. John 11:26, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Psalms 19:7 says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." See, God's word really, truly is the answer to everything in our lives. And you may ask yourself, okay, if I can't pay the rent, how's God's word going to help me? Guess what? The answer to that's in there too. God has incredible principles of how to manage your finances and how to manage your home in his word. It's just a matter of spending time in God's word and finding out what those principles are. And as a matter of fact, we make it so easy here at Remnant and any other church. I mean, if you're opening God's word and you're not finding the things that you want to find, you just have to call one of us. We give you our phone numbers in the bulletin. You can call us or text us at any time and say, "Hey, I'm looking for that passage that talked about how to manage my finances. Where's that at?" See, God's word has so many answers, and we want it to be accessible to each and every one of you. Matter of fact, if you don't have a copy of God's word, there's some copies there in the back, and we invite you to take one. The important thing is that you have God's rules. You have his guidelines for having a balanced family. We want to make sure that it's yours and it's accessible to you, and it's something that's being used. It's not enough just to own a copy of it. You've got to spend time in it and discover what God has for you. So are God's rules being followed in your home? Third question is this: are you learning and growing? Are you learning and growing? Now, maybe you're like, "Yeah, we've been eating a lot of food lately. We're growing." That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about physical growth here. And maybe you're like, "Yeah, we're going to have a baby, so we're growing, right?" Now, here's the thing. For each and every one of us on an individual level, if you have a relationship with Jesus, God has like planted a seed in your heart. And that seed needs to be watered. It needs sunlight. It needs all the things that are necessary for it to grow. And God's given us all those resources. By spending time with him and spending time in his word, we can grow. And so as a family that's balanced is intentional about learning from God and growing as they walk through life together. Look what it says in verse 9. Sorry, Randy, I skipped that slide for you. Verse 9 says, "But watch out. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live." So we're told in God's word, don't allow these things to escape. What was Moses talking about when he says, "Don't allow these memories to escape"? He was saying the lessons that you learned, the things that God taught you about himself, don't let those things just escape. Don't let that just be a lesson and not learn from it. Here's the thing. If you make a mistake in life and you don't learn from it, what happens? You make the same mistake again, right? You just go back and you mess things up again. And God has actually given us everything that he's given us in his word. He's given us so that we can have instruction, that we can learn from it. Isn't it better to learn from someone else's mistake than from your own? Man, that's the way I want to learn everything, right? Watch someone else mess up and be like, "Okay, I'm not doing that," right? As a matter of fact, we'll get to this verse in just a second. It actually says that. Let me just repeat this statement again. If your family's going to be in balance, it must be intentional about learning from God and growing as they walk through life together. What do I mean about being intentional? being intentional, about actually committing to it, about actually coming up with a plan for how your family is going to grow and learn together. And maybe that means that you're not going to miss out on Sunday mornings when God's word is being taught. Maybe it's that you are going to gather together as a family and spend time in God's word. Maybe it's you're going to take advantage when there's other things that are going on, places that where God's word is being taught. On the back there on the table, in addition to having our sign up for the men's retreat, which is a great way, men, to grow and learn, there's also a little card. There's a Calvary Chapel just started a Bible college that's going to be down here. I think it's starting up in the fall. So look for opportunities. Look for ways to grow and learn. We encourage you guys to do that, because if you're not learning and you're not growing, your family can become out of balance. Look at Romans 15:4. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." What's he saying? What's God saying? That everything that's written down here is there for us to learn from. So we read about the mistakes other people make, and we commit ourselves not to make those same mistakes. We see the success that other people have because they follow God's rules, and we decide we're going to follow suit and we're going to do exactly what they did because we know God's going to honor it. So everything that's written here for us is designed for us to live life better so that we can have families that are in balance. I love what Proverbs chapter 3, wow, Proverbs 3 is an awesome chapter. I mean, this whole chapter is just chock full of good stuff, but Proverbs 3, 1 through 4 says, "My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation." Man, such great, great wisdom. How often do we commit God's word to memory? How often do we take pieces of God's word, verses out of God's word, and commit them to memory? I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to not just read God's word like it's a book, but actually spend time on one verse and memorize it. I mean, there's so many good verses. I mean, you can start with that one right there and just find a verse and say, okay, I'm going to commit this to memory. I'm going to read this every day until it becomes so familiar, until it's deep within my heart. God's going to use those things. Whatever scripture you commit to memory, God is going to use that scripture in your life. Whatever principles that you're remembering that God's taught you, God is going to use those things. You would be blown away by the number of times in your typical day that you come across a situation that God's word has an answer for. And those of you that have spent time studying God's word, you know what I'm talking about. You'll get like a quarter of the way through your day, and you're going to come in direct contact with something that God's word has talked about. And maybe it's something you read that morning, and you're like, wow, God, you gave me that perfect thing for this moment. You'll recognize it when it happens. If it's happened to you before, you understand what I'm talking about. If it's never happened to you before, I encourage you to commit some of God's word to memory. And as you do that, God begins to bring those things to mind. He begins to bring those things up so that when you come across that situation, you've got the answer right there. I challenge you to do that. Be a family that's learning and growing. You know, this past week, was it last week that Josiah was at Vacation Bible School? I think it was last week, wasn't it? Yeah, the week this week was super long. But so he spent the entire week learning Bible verses, hearing Bible stories, all this stuff. I mean, that is so good for kids to be hearing those things and to be learning those things at a young age. He's got the videos, the What's in the Bible videos by Phil Vischer, the guy that does VeggieTales. I think we were doing that in Kids Church this summer, right? That stuff is chock full of great stuff. I mean, my son comes to me all the time and has like little pieces of information about the Bible that I'm like, wow, how did you know that? He'd be like, Dad, did you know the kingdom was divided into the north and the southern kingdoms? I'm like, what? And where'd you learn that, buddy? You know, it's like he has all this information and just like, And here's the thing. Children absorb stuff like sponges, and they remember things. I mean, they say like between the ages of, 1 and I think 8 years old, something like that, that's like the greatest time for learning. I mean, that's where kids can learn languages, I mean, you're capable of learning dozens of languages during that time because your mind could just soak up all that information. And I think about how much of that time we waste. I think about how much of that time kids spend in front of a television. And they're just soaking up things that are not going to be helpful. They're not going to be valuable for them. Imagine what it would be like or what their lives would be like if they spent time learning God's word and learning principles from God's word. And you have to be intentional about it. Being a family that's learning and growing is something that takes work. It takes commitment. It takes actually deciding, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be a family that learns and that grows so that we can be in balance. Fourth question is this. Is God's legacy being handed down? Is God's legacy being handed down? Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, 'Summon the people before me, and I will personally instruct them. And they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also.'" Now, let me explain something. The word fear, you might hear that word and be like, wait a second, God wants us to be afraid of him? No, this word actually means respect. Okay, it means respect or it means honor. It's like an older word. You may have heard someone say, "I'm going to put the fear of God in you," right? That's the idea. I'm going to make you respect. I'm going to teach you some respect, okay? That's the idea. And so God is saying, I want your children and your grandchildren to learn to respect and honor God. That's what it's talking about here. Is God's legacy being handed down? That's why I say a balanced family assumes the responsibility of making sure that their immediate and future family members have every opportunity to follow Jesus. Now, I know, I've heard parents say this. I've heard parents say, you know what? I want my kids to be just, you know, open-minded and make all their own choices, all their own decisions, and just, you know, let them decide how life is going to turn out for them, and, you know, just kind of let them run for it. I think that's a terrible way to raise a family. I think that's the worst thing you could do is just allow your kid to discover for themselves what's right and what's wrong. Because you know what happens? We have this thing called a sin nature that's a part of our lives, and it's always going to be leading us down the wrong path. And without instruction, without proper guidance, every single one of us are going to end up going the wrong direction and getting lost in life. And that's why I say that while your kids are under your roof, while they're a part of your family, while you have any influence on them, you've got to encourage them, you've got to instruct them, you've got to lead them in a godly way. Assume that responsibility because it's a legacy that you're handing down. You're passing on a legacy. See, here's the thing. The things that I teach my son are the things that my parents taught me. And the things that my parents taught me are things that their parents taught them. And maybe at some point in your life there was a breakdown, okay? Maybe you had a terrible upbringing. Maybe you had a mom or a dad that didn't care for you or wasn't doing the things right. But you can turn the tide. You can change everything. You can completely change the direction of how your family legacy is being written. And so I encourage you, I invite you to hand down a godly legacy. Don't let it stop with your family. Pass it on down into the future. A family that's in balance, a family that's living a balanced life together is going to be handing down an incredible legacy for their family in the future. And you can have influence over your extended family. I mean, we have proof of that in this room this morning. We have people that are here because their extended family invited them and said, "Come and be a part of this. I don't want you to miss out on this. It's too good." So we can have that kind of influence over our families. And certainly, we need to have that influence over our immediate family. Certainly, we need to be handing down a legacy to our children so that they can carry it on. And they need to be thinking about their kids and what they're going to hand down. Deuteronomy 11, verse 9 says, "You shall teach them to your children." It's talking about God's word. "Talking to them when you are sitting down in your house, And when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, basically every situation, every time in your life, every situation is a good time to be handing down God's legacy. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." Does that describe your family? Do these four questions, let's put these questions up on the screen together, Randy, so we can see them all. There it is, a balanced family. Is God at the center? Are God's rules being followed? Are you learning and growing? Is God's legacy being handed down? I mean, just in a few moments when Moses stood before the nation of Israel and said, "I'm about to present to you God's rules because he cares about you and he wants you to be a great nation." I think God is saying the same thing to us. He cares about us and he wants us to have great families. And in those few moments, he lays out what it's like to be balanced in our families. And I hope, my prayer is that you take these things seriously and you take these things as from God. Make sure that God is at the center of your family. Make sure that he's right there at the center. Make sure that God's rules are being followed in your home. That God's word is not just a book that you have on your shelf, but it's actually a roadmap for living life, and it's being used in your home. Make sure that you're being intentional about learning and about growing as a family, pursuing Jesus together as a family. And then lastly, make sure that you're leaving a legacy, that you're handing down a legacy so that your future family will be able to benefit from it. I mean, imagine some of you may be looking at your families right now and you're asking questions like, "Well, I don't know where we went wrong." Imagine if you had a godly family that had handed down a godly legacy to you. Imagine how different your family would be. Think about the potential. Think about the incredible future that your family will have if you apply these things. And think about all the noise and all the problems that can be avoided by being a balanced family, by simply following the rules that God has laid out for us. He's given them to us because he loves us, because he cares about us.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.